Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Zechariah chapter 5, which I will entitle Sixth Vision, Flying Scroll. Seventh Vision, Woman in the Basket. These are the sixth and seventh visions of the eight visions that Zechariah had one night in early 519 BC. The temple that was being rebuilt had its construction begun again in 520 BC by the exiles from Babylon who had come back from Babylon in 538 and who had been sent to Babylon in 586 by the Babylonian conquest. So we start now in Zechariah 5 verses 1 through 4. Then I lifted up my eyes again. This is Zechariah speaking. Then I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, there was a flying scroll. And he said to me, that he is the interpreting angel who walks around with Zechariah in his visions and tells Zechariah what it is that he's seeing. And he, the interpreting angel, said to me, what do you see? And I, Zechariah, answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he, the interpreting angel, said to me, Zechariah, this is the curse that is going forth over the face of the whole land. Surely everyone who steals will be purged away according to the writing on one side, and everyone who swears will be purged away according to the writing on the other side. I will make it go forth, declares the Lord of hosts, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And it will spend the night within that house and consume it with its timber and stones. Now in verse 1, Zechariah sees a flying scroll. What does flying mean? Well, that suggests the speed of the judgments on the scroll. It also suggests the source of the judgments, because the scroll is coming from heaven. Now what about the scroll? What is it? Well, John probably refers to this symbol in the book of Revelation. We read in Revelation 5:1, And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, that's Jesus, a book, or a scroll, written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. So there's a scroll in the book of Revelation, and it's full of curses because the seven seals were judgments on one quarter of the land, or the first six seals were, and the seventh seal contained the seven trumpets, and the first six trumpets were judgments on one-third of the land, and then the seventh trumpet contained the seven bowls, which were the judgments on 100% of the land. The land is going down to destruction. And of course, that's on an Orthodox preterist interpretation of Revelation. So the scroll in Revelation 5 was filled with curses. The same idea here. This flying scroll contained curses on the land because of sin against God. Now, I'm anticipating something here. The NASB translates land, ha'aretz, the land, ha'aretz, as land, and that's the way I think it should be translated, but I'll show you later that some translations have it as earth, in which case the curse that's going forth would be over the face of the whole earth, which would mean Babylon. Difference of interpretation there. But I'm going to assume land, because I just think that's what it is. So the curse goes over the land in verse 3, and the interpreting angel says, everyone who steals will be purged away. Now, steals is a violation of the second table of the law, the last six of the Ten Commandments, man's duty to man. And the idea here is that everybody's going to be taken care of. Those who violate the second table of the law, man's duty to man, they'll be purged away. In other words, they'll be expelled from the land. According to the writing on one side, that's the second table of the law, and then everyone who swears will be purged away according to the writing on the other side. Now, swearing is taking God's name in vain. That violates the first four commandments, the first table of the law. So the idea here is both sides of the scroll take care of curses that come from both tables of the law. In verse 4, we have a switch of speaker. Verse 4 is now Yahweh. I will make it go forth, declares the Lord of hosts, and it will enter the house of the thief. In other words, there are going to be curses coming into the house of the thief. That symbolism is easy. And the house of the one who swears falsely by my name, that would be people who are swearing to pay money back and they don't do it. They take oaths. They don't keep them. They swear falsely in the name of Yahweh. Well, curses are going to come into those fraudsters' houses also. And the scroll will spend the night within that house and consume it. This is what the curses will do. The curses will consume the house with its timber and stones. That is probably a reference to the law. Houses which had leprosy in the law had the infected timber and stones first moved outside the camp, and the house was rebuilt with new timber and stones, or rehabilitated with new timber and stones. If the new timber and stones became infected, then the whole house was taken outside the camp and destroyed. Well, here is the whole house of the blasphemer, the false swearer, and the thief. He's going to be wiped out. Now, in verse 3, the thief and the false swearer are said to be purged away. They will be purged away. That's not the usual translation. That's the NASB translation. That verb is usually translated cut off. The idea is that the sinner will be cut off from the believing community. Fred Miller, a contemporary commentator, says that the primary meaning of that verb is to cleanse or to purge rather than cut off. So thieves and oath takers will be cleansed, not cut off. They'll be cleansed when they compare themselves to the writing on the scroll. Now, when I read Miller's interpretation of that, I thought it was a little bit off the wall, but then I looked at the Young's literal translation, and instead of cut off or purged away or separated from, the Young's literal translation had declared innocent. And so the thief will be declared innocent when he sees the curses, which seems sort of strange to me. But the idea is he will be declared innocent after God forgives him, after he sees that he's a thief and a false swearer. I think that is stretching it a little bit. I think the other translations which have cut off show that bad things are going to be happening to this thief, or to any thief, and to those who swear falsely in the name of Yahweh. We go now to Zechariah 5, verses 5 through 8. Then the angel who was speaking with me came forward and told me, "Look up and see what this is that is approaching." So I asked, "What is it?" He responded, the angel did, the interpreting angel, "It's a measuring basket that is approaching." And he, the interpreting angel, continued, "This is their iniquity in all the land." Then a lead cover was lifted, and there was a woman sitting inside the basket. "This is wickedness," he said, the interpreting angel said. Then he, the interpreting angel, shoved her down into the basket and pushed the lead weight over its opening. Now in verse 6, this measuring basket, as the Holman Christian Study Bible has it, is translated by the NASB as the ephah, which was a standard measurement in Israel. An ephah basket could hold about 7 gallons, and it could hold a whore. The woman called wickedness, doesn't call her a whore, but I'm sure she is. And this is the 7th vision. The scroll was the 6th vision. Now in verse 6, the interpreting angel tells Zechariah that the basket contains iniquity, their iniquity, and I'm assuming it's the iniquity of the people of Israel, which has been taken to Babylon. And this could very well refer to what happens in the past, what has happened in the past. The iniquity had a name and had a symbol, a woman called wickedness. The lead cover was over the basket. That's to make sure the wickedness could get out, I suppose, lead being very heavy. Now that iniquity that's in the basket, the word is iniquity in the Holman Christian Study Bible. The NASB has appearance. This is their appearance in all the land, which is not quite as forceful. The NIV has iniquity. We'll stick with iniquity. Sin. If you take the NASB translation, you would have to say that the Jews are living in the land having the appearance of evil. That sounds like they're not really evil, so I don't like that translation. So we go now to Zechariah 5, 9 through 11, and we will finish this audio. Then I, that's Zechariah, lifted up my eyes and looked, and there two women were coming out with the wind in their wings. And they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heavens, in other words, up into the sky. And I said to the angel who was speaking with me, "Where are they taking the ephah? Where are these two women taking the ephah, the measuring basket?" Then he, the interpreting angel, said to Zechariah, said to me, "To build a temple for her in the land of Shinar, and when it is prepared, she will be set there on her own pedestal." Now, the two women carrying the basket with the woman called wickedness in it, are they supposed to symbolize anything? Joseph Benson says that great difficulties attend the interpretation of this part of the vision, and commentators are much divided upon it. Well, let's look at some options here as to who. Well, let's look at some options here as to who these two women might represent. Albert Barnes says the two women have no significance at all. They are just figures in the tableau, background in the vision, And I think Barnes is right. Option number two, they stand for Ezra and Nehemiah, because Ezra and Nehemiah were instrumental in removing wickedness from Israel. Joseph Benson mentions a third option. He only takes it optionally. The Medes and the Persians, because they destroyed Babylon. I guess dropping a load of sin onto Babylon would be tantamount to destroying Babylon. But those options, Ezra and Nehemiah or the Medes and the Persians, to me are so not obvious. So I'm just going to go with Barnes and say that the two women have no significance at all. Now, the two women took the wicked woman in the basket and they deposited her in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon, the land between the rivers, between the Tigris and the Euphrates, Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization, where Babylon was. And Babylon, of course, is the standard symbol for all that is opposed to God. God wants to clean Israel of evil and put evil in its appropriate place. Babylon. Now, this has to be metaphorical and not literal, as Joseph Benson points out, because the Jews were never carried back to Babylon. They came from Babylon. Now, this woman called wickedness, I said she sounds like a whore. A wicked woman is usually a whore, and she's going to Babylon. Well, that makes one think that this wicked woman is now the whore of Babylon, sort of a standard symbol in the book of Revelation. John says in Revelation 17, verses 3 through 5, so he, referring to an angel, so an angel carried me away in the spirit, carried John away in the spirit to a desert. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, that's the Roman Empire. The woman is, in my humble opinion, I know there's disputes over this, but I think it's the land beast. It's the apostate nation of Israel that crucified Jesus. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. So the scarlet beast is Rome. There's the whore sitting on top of Rome, sitting on top of the scarlet beast. Verse 4, Revelation 17. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones and pearls. She had a gold cup in her hand filled with everything vile and with the impurities of her prostitution, her whoredom, her harlotry. On her forehead a cryptic name was written, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the vile things of the earth. Well, I am convinced that the Lord, in revealing this vision to John the Apostle, was referring to what he had revealed to Zechariah. This woman in the basket who landed in Shinar and was put up on a pedestal, because that's where you put idols. The mother of whores, the mother of prostitutes, Babylon the Great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on that august note, we have now finished Zechariah chapter 5, and we're prepared to go to Zechariah chapter 6 in our next audio. I will call chapter 6 a vision of 4 chariots, and we will also talk about the branch in that chapter. I hope you stay tuned for that discussion, and I hope you enjoyed this one.